You're listening to the Radio Diaries podcast. I'm Joe Richman. 16 years ago, we started a series called Teenage Diaries. The idea was simple: take a group of teenagers from around the country and give them tape recorders to report on their own lives.
Hello? Nope, wrong button. There. Hello?
Well, let me do the introduction now. Hi, my name is Josh.
My name is Amanda.
My name is Melissa Rodriguez.
Hi, my name is Frankie, and I'm going to give you a little tour of my Cadillac here.
Here I am. My name is Juan, and I'm here in the U.S.
It's my radio show, thank you.
Today on our podcast, Teenage Diaries Revisited. As some of you may know, we've been going back to some of the original diarists from the Teenage Diaries series from 1996, 97, and giving them tape recorders again to tell new stories about their grown-up lives. And today, in our studio, we have a surprise guest.
Hi, it's Amanda. Amanda Brand from Queens.
And now the thing you need to know about Amanda is that, Amanda, you were the very first diarist, the very first teenage diarist, the first person that I ever worked with to give a tape recorder to. Amanda, let me just get you to talk a little bit about what you did 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah, so my story basically is about me and my relationship with my parents at the time when I was coming out and kind of struggling with being an openly gay teenager. And being from a Catholic family where being gay can be, you know, construed as being evil or being, you know, not right, it was an issue for me. And so basically it's just my story with my parents about how to find my way and be accepted within my family.
Now, we're going to hear later on some of your new diary tape where you actually go back and talk to your parents once again. That'll be coming up later. But first, let me just have you introduce your teenage diary.
Yeah. So this is Amanda Brand, and this is my diary. Enjoy.
We're fiending. Okay. Open up that door, girls. We need a light, unless you got one.
What about your mom?
What about us?
Give that rotten cigarette. Amanda, I know it's rotten.
Who has that cigarette?
Me.
Give it to me. My name is Amanda, and I'm 17 years old. I live in Queens.
Is it bad?
Hell yes.
Let me try it.
Oh, God. Fridays and Saturday nights, we just drive around like a bunch of low lives looking for things to do.
Where are these people? Anybody you know?
People think I'm a little on the weird side, but I don't think I'm on the weird side. Basically, I wear like a cross between skater clothes and like industrial gothic style. I think it's a neat combination. My parents think I should dress more feminine, but what do they know, right? They grew up back in ancient times.
11:58, and we still haven't found something to do. We're getting kind of desperate.
Yeah.
I guess in a way, I always known that I was bisexual. Just like when I was in the first grade and I used to live like in my old house down on my grandmother's block now, all the kids used to be friends and we always used to go into the backyards and like play these little games. And I remember one day we were playing a game. It was kind of like Sleeping Beauty, where like the prettiest girl on the block fell asleep on her picnic bench, and you know, somebody had to go and like wake her up to like kiss her and revive her. And it would always be, you know, one of the boys, and I always felt like I wanted to go and revive her. Rotary phone. Dawn, what you doing? Been going out with Dawn for 2 years and 5 months now. We've known each other for practically 3 years. And I am totally, madly, head over heels in love with her. I'll probably come and get you after I'm done, okay? All right. Bye-bye. I go see my little baby, my girlfriend. I didn't get a chance to describe her yet, so I'm gonna do it now. She has long black hair that goes down to around the middle of her back. She has brown eyes. You know how they always say that there's one particular thing that attracts you to somebody, one thing that stands out that you can grab onto and just be totally attracted to that person. And about Dawn is it's her voice. You could fall in love with her just by listening to her voice. Yeah? That's my mother making coffee. During the school week, it's pretty much boring around my house. It's a Tuesday night and the television's on. Everybody just sits around and does their homework. You know, regular family life. I mean, at least for me. I don't know too much about other families. Oof, excuse me. I burp like a fanatic. My mother's always yelling at me. How are you supposed to find a man? There we go again. How are we supposed to find a man? I tell her I'm like, I'm not interested in men, you know? And she's like, all right, whatever.
My parents know that I'm bisexual, but they don't talk about it much. You know, my father doesn't really talk much at all. My mother, on the other hand, when I first told her, and she reacted totally crazy.
It was all against my growing up beliefs.
Anyone who was gay or was lesbian was considered sick.
Sick.
Wasn't accepted in the Catholic Church at all. It wasn't accepted. So I've grown up with that concept all my life. So to hear that that's you, wouldn't that blow your mind?
But I mean, now in like the 20th century, where it's like really common to hear that somebody's gay and it's like all over the place.
Well, I think they're trying to make it common, but it shouldn't be common. It's not natural. And I mentioned that to you several times. That is not what God intended. I know in today's world you hear all kinds of TV programs saying, oh, this is it, that's it. That still doesn't make it right.
It does. It makes it right if you feel. You don't know this, but how come when I was, like, younger, I felt this way?
All girls feel that way.
Since I was in first grade?
Yes. Little girls feel that way all the time.
You felt that way, too?
Yes. Yes. That's common.
How do you feel about it, Dad?
About what?
How do you feel about me?
Fine. What about it?
Sexuality-wise.
Well, you're 17 years old. You're not definite. You're not formed in your ways.
Someone at 17 does not know what is at the other end of the line. Anybody.
How do you know?
There's just not enough life that you've seen. You haven't seen enough. You haven't done enough. You have not lived.
Well, over 2 years and then 5 months have gone by, and that's what I believe.
I think if a good fella came by and really treated you right, your mind will switch.
My mind will switch. So it's all in my mind.
It is. It's all in your mind right now. Just don't say, well, this is how I feel and this is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life.
I'm not saying that's how I'm going to be for the rest of my life, and I'm not saying that I'm not going to have sex with a guy. I'm saying that I do. I want to go and have sex with a guy. It's not happened yet.
Well, I hope not.
No, it's not. But I mean, I'm going to. I'm not going to, like, deny myself of that.
Well, that's what I said. Don't deny yourself of that. And you may find, when you do that, that your whole outlook may change.
It's just not like, oh, this is somebody's decision. They don't really know what they want right now. I've been out with guys while I've been going out with Dawn. Dawn's been out with guys while she's been going out with me. I mean, we're really close. And there's, like, a love there. More for me towards her than her towards me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we're with each other, you know?
Well, maybe that's just a good friendship. You love friends.
Yeah, but I don't do what I do with Dawn with friends. Do you know what I mean? You don't do what you do with Dad with friends, you know? My parents just think that this is like a phase. Like when, you know, the guys used to get earrings or when they used to wear ponytails. ponytails when I was little. That was a phase to them. They think that this is a phase, but I don't think it's a phase. I think this is me. I don't know what to say. That's how I feel. And it doesn't really bother me. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, is this? Oh, I love this song. Do you see the video?
Yes.
Video's cool too.
No matter what anybody is, I don't care. I don't care if you're like half horse, half fish. You're proud of what you are, you know? My parents don't dislike me. They just don't agree with me. They just don't think that it's natural, which I understand. You know, I see their point. They grew up in a totally different time, and that's fine, but they're getting used to it, you know, and they're going to have to get used to it, because pretty soon when I bring my wife over to their house to eat dinner, you know, with my kids, they're just going to be like, okay, fine, you know? That's how it's going to be.
Amanda, tell me about listening to that again after all these years.
Again, it makes me cry. Actually, now I'm starting to realize it's not my mother's reaction. It's my reaction. When you start to hear, like, at the beginning, okay, like, I'm battling it. I'm sticking up for myself. But there's one point where I lose it. You can hear it in my voice. And that makes me lose it. It's like, where'd that strength go? You know? Like, get back up. And fight. Because you know you're right. That's it.
When I hear your story, one thing I think about is, you know, on one level you hear your mom having such a hard time with you and being gay and struggling with it. But the other side of that is I hear her as participating in this story and in this conversation and letting you participate in it. And I remember, too, after the story, how supportive she was. And I think, like, wow, she didn't agree, but she was still right there with you on some level, you know.
Yeah. Because that woman loves me to death. She really does. She proves it every day. So, you know, it's not the words that come out of her mouth, because her actions prove so much different than, you know, what she says. It just shows who she really is as a person, you know? Like, Catholic Church, Schmatholic Church, you know? She, you know, regardless, she loves us and loves me. And that's all that matters to me.
And so you went back just recently and you played it for her. And you guys sat around and you listened, you and your mom and your dad. What was that like?
It was comfortable, you know, just knowing who she is now. And then we went on to have, I feel like it was a great conversation. I feel like it was a great kind of cleansing and healing of just a question and answer of, like, why do you think you felt that way? And
we're going to hear that conversation in just a minute. But I just want to ask you, looking back at the teenage you, like, what's that like? Who do you see?
I see a lot of me still. I definitely see, you know, a person who is strong, who is confident, who is fun, you know, who is silly, who could be mistaken for a bit of a bully, just like, you know, not caring about what other people think and kind of being very, you know, whatever. But I still see all of those same characteristics in me today, but I see a softer me. A more well-rounded person. I see an adult, you know, basically. So that person's still there. All right, I'm just going to record. Dad, give us a little bit of something.
This is a test of the recording to see if it records at a good volume.
For our Teenage Diaries Revisited series, Amanda took a tape recorder back to her parents and interviewed them again in the very same house in Queens, in the very same room where she had interviewed them 16 years earlier.
Do you still think it's a phase?
Well, we know it's not a phase. But it did take me a few years to accept the whole thing.
Well, one of the reasons why I have a little bit of a hard time listening to the story from before is because I feel that even though you love me unconditionally, and you always have, there was that little sting of you're sick, you're not normal. It kind of hurts to hear that.
You know, we were brought up being taught differently. But I think we as a family have really evolved. Everything is changing. I mean, you can even see it in television programs and movies, and it's such an accepted thing, and it's a good thing, because now I see your side.
You see, you have the personality to be kind of pushing the limits, whereas my personality is work within the system as it exists. So I think that the evolution came about because of people like you who were pushing the edge and allowing people like me to grow from within.
Right. But like, so now, does it make you nervous in any way?
Not at all. Matter of fact, I am so proud of you that I just brag about you to my friends. And I say, she's gay, you know. And that's fine.
That's a good answer. That makes me sad. Like, in a good way. But no, that's really nice to hear.
You know, we hope you continue to be happy and that you find companionship. And that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, so, Dad sure is talking a lot more than he did.
I know. What a turnaround. What are the people going to say?
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for opening our eyes.
Aww. That was nice. Oh, I need to sign off. I mean, this is Amanda Brand. Kathy and Al are my parents. Awesome people. Supportive, loving, religious. And it's all good. So, Amanda, signing out.
You've been listening to the Radio Diaries podcast. We'll be catching up with more of the original Teenage Diarists in upcoming episodes. The Teenage Diaries Revisited series is produced by myself and Sarah Kate Kramer and edited by Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. Bookish.com is the sponsor for today's show. You can visit Bookish.com for information about books and authors, custom recommendations, and original content by book experts. And as always, if you enjoy our work, please consider making a donation to help us do what we do. Just go to RadioDiaries.org and click donate. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening.